Pastor home. That's right. Amen. Okay. The scripture tonight is found in Romans chapter 1. Chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And this, which I'm about to read, is the ending of, well, it is actually a summary of all that the Apostle Paul had dealt with in his writing up to that point, studies that he'd given. This is quite a normal thing for the apostle when his writings. He would exhaust a subject or spend a lot of time with it, and then he would kind of get a summation. You'll find some of those summations in the center of his chapter, and then he passes on to another emphasis and starts with that, and then he will give a another summation later on. So here in this particular summation, he finished with quite a bit of particulars. And so he said here in verse 1 of chapter 12, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Verse 1 speaks here about the living sacrifice that we, because of all the good things that God has done for us, it's already been covered in 11 chapters. We are supposed to give a response. There is no such a thing as a relationship without mutual responses. Sometimes people thinking that to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and that the Lord takes care of that, of course. But the fact that the response, that is inconsequential. That you could drink, you could go ahead, live like you may well please, and then it's okay because everything is traveling your way. The goodies are coming your way. Redemption, eternal life, everything of that nature. But as I asked a man, 2 years ago, I said to him, "Can you feature heaven being populated with people who have absolutely no relationship with Jesus Christ?" And he says, "Well, no." And I said, "I can't either." He said, "Well, what's your point?" And I said, I reached over and got him by the forearm. I said, "There is absolutely no such thing as a relationship without a commitment." And I said, "I am committed to my wife. We have a tremendous relationship. But if I should trash the commitment, my relationship with her would also in time, if not immediately, be destroyed." That is interchange of responses between the people who love each other and between us and God who care for each other. There is absolutely no such a thing as a relationship without a response. So, in lieu of all the good things that the apostle had said, that God had done for us, he said, "I beseech you, therefore, because of that, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God." And that this should be your response in view of what God has done for you. Your body is a living sacrifice. You notice he said living. He didn't say a dead sacrifice, but that the sacrifice that is given is a living one. It was not one that was killed and lain inert and lifeless upon the altar, but it was had energy, it had life, it was able to transact and produce and to go ahead and to be creative. This is a type of sacrifice that God is asking for. It's a productive sacrifice. One that reciprocates, as we have already said, that responds and so on. That we are to do that. Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 13 said that we were to yield ourselves to God as those who were alive unto God. Our yielding is filled with energy. It is filled with expectancy. It is filled with life itself. We have received eternal life within ourselves. And that eternal life, of course, passes through us. It energizes us and causes us, or should cause us, to be active in serving Him and also giving glory unto Him. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 15th verse, he tells us that our bodies are members of Christ. Our bodies are members of Christ. That the church, of course, obviously is the body of God upon the earth today. The scripture said, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the Bible speaks of the members of that particular body. My nephew, this year, sawed off his thumb and tore up his hand in the process. And so he was visiting us not long ago. And he's told me, described to me the therapy he was taking. He had the instruments with him to help with his therapy. He said, I have to develop these fingers all over again because of this particular member that I have lost here. And so God takes myself, he takes you, and he reaches, this is the member he reaches through. Just like Tom used his thumb, this was a member of his body, and to get his work done. God reaches forth through us to get his work done. We are members in his overall body. And he uses us in that way. The church is not over until the lights go out around here. It's not over when the pastor says that you're dismissed. Because in a living church, where in the body of Christ, that is the members filled with the energy of God, it wants the whole congregation evolves into clumps of fellowship and of talk, and that goes on for some time around here. It's indicative of a healthy church. My wife and myself, some years ago, not too many years ago, we had been in the service of God for a week. That was when I was district superintendent here. And in this district, I was worn out by the time that particular conference was ended. It was ended on Thursday, I believe, Thursday or Friday. So I said, let's stay over, and we need to catch up on some rest. So we did. We stayed over, and I wasn't intending to go to church that Sunday, and we were very weary, and just but waked up, and I felt like, well, this would be a good time to go and make some observations on some churches that I have been in for years and to see what's going on there. So we went over to a particular church that is categorized as Pentecostal, and but I noticed that within 5 minutes after the amen was said, there was not one soul left in that building. They got out of there. Their major interest was not in there. It was elsewhere. And they went to it as quick as they could go to it. And the building was empty within 5 minutes after the amen was said. It's not so when there's life, the sacrifice is a living sacrifice. When there is a pulsation of synchronized purpose in the body of Christ. So what happens here? There is ministry that continues after the amen is said. In fact, the pastor not too long ago, we were talking, just passed a word or so, and he said, well, that's exactly true. He said, I'd like for you to notice such and such a direction. And he said, the two women that are there, and said, so-and-so is being ministered to tonight. So-and-so is being ministered to tonight. And I believe, I'm quite sure she was, by through a member that stretched out from God, just like the thumb or the arm or so on. I am a member. You are a member of the body of Christ. How wonderful it is that when we are used of God and God passes through us in order to touch somebody else, to bring some particular word to them and encouragement or a sense of direction. Straight back from this pulpit tonight, in the center of the aisle, this aisle that ends with the double doors back there, that is a particular spot that I shall never forget. One Sunday morning, service was over. I was struggling with a particular responsibility that I was to face that next week. And that was more or less a mediatorial particular situation, to go into a particular district where that there were stresses and to minister there and to attempt to bring some semblance of peace and whatever in that district. And so I was squeamish about it. I didn't know exactly the right approach or what not, and I dreaded going. And so I was speaking to people as they passed through those double doors. There was a woman in this church who struggles to make a living. And I spoke to her and she passed in front of me and started to step out. And that she stopped and turned. And she said, Pastor, I had a dream about you this week. And I said, you did? And she said, yes. Said, it's the strangest thing. Said, let me tell you about it. And she told me about what the dream was. And it just clicked as clear as a bell. And then she shook her head again and looked at me in a quizzical expression. And she said, that is quite strange, isn't it? I said, no, not really. She said, you don't find it strange. I said, no, I don't. I would have liked to have told her why, but I didn't feel to. I went to that meeting, and the gist of that dream was she waked herself up crying out loud. Pastor, don't quit. Don't give up. Get back in there. And it was a struggle between myself and an adversary, and I was wounded in the process. We need you. Get back in there. And so I knew what the message was. It was, don't back up. Be bold. Be firm. Be directive. Be objective. Go ahead with it. Amen. And so the meeting went that way. So sometimes things would tighten up and I could sense the tightness in the situation during the meeting. So I just stopped. I'd take a good look at them and I'd say, hey, what's going on here? I'd say, you don't like what I'm saying, do you? What are you going to do about it? And I said, you can't vote me out and I don't want anything you got. And come on here, fellas. I'm an old man. I know what I'm talking about. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise God. Well, let's do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Kind of get loosened up again and go ahead. Well, the meeting came to a close. And as it so happened that day, there was not one person that was had anything to do with any polarity, a leadership in a place of leadership that had anything to do with polarity there. They weren't there. And so I finished the meeting, and there was, just stepped out of the way. The man who stepped to the podium opened his mouth and then closed it. He opened it again and closed it. You know, that's a good thing to do sometime. And about the third time, he just started crying. And in mass, the congregation rose. And without an invitation, they trooped to the front and knelt upon their knees. And this was a turning point in that particular situation. So a member, God stretched out a member to fix something. We are members of His body. And it is like that. Living members, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. The Bible tells us that we are not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and all things become new. There is transformation, not conformity, but transformation. And one rendition says, don't let the world put you in its mold. There's a thousand ways and more that the world can put you in its mold. And you begin to take up on yourself the characteristics of the world. Just in things like the attitude of the world that's filled with its constant unending griping about this and the whining about that and so on. And lots of times there's things that cause that a person could gripe about. That's the way the world does it, isn't it? Yes, sir, that's the way the world does it. And the Bible is in effect saying, don't do that. Don't be caught up into something that is non-productive, that drains the vitality out of your spiritual life. Don't do that. Don't be conformed to the world. You can be different. You're supposed to be different. You're transformed, not conformed. You have a different perspective, different objective. You have a different spiritual mentality, and dwell upon that. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 1937. 3 years before I received the Holy Ghost, I admired so much a certain single man who played the guitar in the little church in Noble, Louisiana, and would sing. His name is James Kegley. James Kegley worked in the oil fields. He did lots of work in the Permian Basin, up at Borger. He worked in that area a whole lot. And stepmother, his real mother was dead. Stepmother was a great factor in praying me through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Sister Tilly. Well, James, he was just a roughneck, and he came and went, and he didn't pay any money out to come and go. He hoboed on the train, and people did that in those days. And so he hoboed his way out here and get him a job and work for some time. Go to around, and so then there's a couple of girls that came to Noble to preach a revival. And they were teenagers. Reba and Tressie Westmoreland. Hey! You know what? Sometimes it may seem like that God couldn't do anything with something like that. With a couple ignorant teenagers and so on. And he took those little girls and and he used them. 200 people lived in Noble then. 200 people live there now. 60 of those 200 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost while the Westmoreland girls. Our family was brought to God through the preaching of those teenage girls. Woo! Members. Yes. Reaching out. Amen. God using them. People sitting right here in this place tonight that God wishes to use, to stretch forth as one of His own members of His body to do God's work and to get God's work done. This is His plan and this is what He wants. Well, James Kegley began to seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that revival. And he did not receive it. Every time he got down to pray, the picture of a certain toe sack would come up in his mind. Some of you may not know what a toe sack is. It's not to carry toes in, but you can carry other things in it. And but this would come up in his mind. And in that toe sack was a bunch of tools that he had stolen when he was out here working in the oil field. And so he made up his mind. He got that toe sack and a few other things. He went down and he caught an old freight headed this way. And so several days yet later, tired, weary, filthy, dirty, he walked up on the drilling floor of a certain rig that was still going. The man that was running the rig, of course, "Hey, James," he said, "what in the world? What you doing here? You want to go to work? I got a job for you right now. And put your stuff up and so on." "No, no," he said, "I don't want a job." "Well, what do you want?" He said, "Come over here. I want to say something to you." He said, "In that sack right there is a bunch of tools that I stole when I was working here. I'm trying to live for God now. I'm trying to do the right thing. And I brought those tools back." That was the Pentecost that I came into. That was what got a hold of people. What moved upon people. It made them want to be honest. A person of their word. To make it right, to get it straight, to live it right. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord. Praise God. Dear Father, we thank You for Thy goodness, Thy blessing. Thank You, Jesus, because You're so wonderful. You're so great. You're so precious. Hallelujah. Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful. We're thankful. Amen. What have we got here? We've got transformation, metamorphosis, spiritual metamorphosis, being changed from a worm to a butterfly, or equivalent of such, and a difference, stepping across another threshold. Amen. 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 That's what this Bible teaches. That's what this Bible teaches. Amen. Oliver Spencer went to New York to build a church. We only had one church in all of New York City. He picked the worst place he could have picked, and that was in the Bronx of New York. Started a church. A church still going today. And he would just walk and begin to witness to people, and he'd come across the toughs of the street and talk to them, and they'd see that he was honest and all of that, and they respected him. And some of them came to church, gave their heart to God. They were just hooked on dope. They were sinners. But God would get hold of them and they would get delivered from their dope and so on. After he had been there a couple of years, he got a call from the council, Bronx Council, City Council. And we'd like for you to meet with us, Reverend, our council meeting such and such time. We would like for you to pray, and also we have some questions for you. So he comes. And the question was this. Last year, we allocated $500,000 toward dope addiction here in the Bronx and trying to do something about it. And the year's gone. We have spent the $500,000, and there is not one person in Bronx that we can put our finger on that we have helped one iota. News has come to us about the success that you're having in the in the dope world and so on. Just thought perhaps you could give us a little advice, and we could make a better approach than what we're making, and we could do it different. And he stepped back and smiled. He said, "I sure can. Amen. I don't have any program. I do have a Bible. And I know God. And we go the Bible way. And they get saved. And they get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or removal of their sin. And this is what does the trick. This is what does the trick." Yes, sir. Billings, Montana, 3 years ago, service was over. And I was fixing to leave the building. A man was standing at the front door. And when I started out, he handed me a letter. He said, "I want you to take that, read it, you can keep it. I still have it." It was a letter that he had written to the judge who had put him on parole because he was, it looked like, a hopeless dope addict as a teenager. And he said, "This is a copy of the letter that I wrote the judge when I asked him to remove me from parole and to give proof that I did not need to be on parole." In that letter, he said, "I received therapy here. I received therapy there. I spent so much time here. None of this did me any good. And I still was hooked on dope. Someone sent me to Youth Redemption Center that is run by the United Pentecostal Church. And I went there. They did not put me on therapy, but they taught me the Bible. And they prayed with me. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Judge, with evidence of speaking in tongues. I was baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, from the day that I was baptized, I've never been tempted to take dope since then. It's all gone. It's gone. Transformation, praise God. Since that is true," he said, "your body a living sacrifice. What you going to present it to me? Give it to me. Let me use your arm as my arm. Let me use your mouth as my mouth. Amen. You're the only members, you guys, the only members I've got. You are my arms. You are my feet. You are my mouth. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus." So, we're talking about being used of God. And of course, faith is involved with that. There are acts of faith. When we allow God to thrust us out on thin ice, as it were, to push us into the unknown. We've never passed that way before. But we yield our members unto Him. And He takes us and uses us. Of course, it takes faith. 1 Kings 17 chapter tells us that the prophet Elijah stayed by the brook Cherith until it dried up, the ravens fed him. He left there and was told to go down to Zarephath and to contact a widow woman. He stood at the gate, and when she stepped out of the city to go gather wood, he spoke to her and he said, you are supposed to bake me a little cake. She turned and she said, I have a handful of meal. I have a small bit, a cruse of oil. I'm going to take the oil and the meal, and I'm going to bake the last cake I'll ever bake, because that's all we got. My boy and myself are going to eat it, and then we're going to die. And the prophet said, bake the cake. When you bake it, bring it to me. And there will always be oil in your cruse. There will always be meal in your barrel. And this woman stepped out by faith to do what the prophet assured her would happen. And it happened that way. Faith is the catalyst that is between the natural world and the spiritual world, that is more powerful than anything you could ever see. But here all you've got is just a handful of meal. But out there are angels innumerable. So what's going to get these two entities together? This power and ability and this inability. And what is going to be the catalyst that brings them together? The bridge. It's faith. Faith brings the spiritual and brings the natural together to transact that which needs to be done. Now, I've seen God do work right here in this place that where we worship. The building of this building and the changing of a location was absolutely in the will of God, and it was at the right time. We started raising money. Incidentally, there was no offering taken in the church for the building fund. There was no pledge that was lifted out publicly for the building fund. But I remember the first night after commitments were announced. Commitments was made in the homes of the people. Brother Johnny Bridges, I remember your flip chart and the pitch that you made from house to house, membership of the church. Yes, sir. So that night, I got out of the car on the old parking lot and I headed for the side door. And somebody said, hey, preacher. And so I stopped and a man was leaning over the top of a car. And so he said, come here. So I walked over where he was and he said, I heard you folks fix and build a church house. And I said, yes, we are, by the help of the Lord. He did not go to church. And he said, well, here's my part. And he had a double handful of money and thrust it at me. I took it, holding that money, and I walked into the church auditorium, and right to the left was a little small, tiny office, a desk behind it. Brother Hunt was their church secretary that time, and I brought that handful of money and dropped it on the desk before him. I said, that's our first money for the new church. And so after church was over, I came back by for Brother Hunt. I said, Brother Hunt, how much money was that? He said it was $5,000. Praise God. And so here we go. And interest went zing, 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 up, up, until you can't believe it. The banks were paying 18% on money in there that you put in there. Hey, That was very nice that we ended up pretty soon with $700,000+ in the bank, drawing 18% interest on it. And God knows. All right, somebody sitting here tonight, you're members of God. The old man tonight is very sincere. Amen. Yes, sir. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and He can do what no other power can do. And so the money kept coming. It wasn't such a big crowd, but the money kept coming. And the building cost over $1 million. On toward $1.5 million, not $1.5 million, but was better than $1 million. And then some. And we moved into it and we owed over $300,000 on the building. And then it was boom time. Boy, we hit it just right. Money was flowing in the streets, as it were, here in Odessa, Texas. Folks from all over the country moving in. And we get in the building. Chow. Something changes. I can take you to the spot in the prayer room. I was praying. Deep down, zing, the Lord speaks to me and said, pay this thing off and do it now. And so I talked to Terry. Terry was here as our assistant at that time. And talked it over. He said, Dad, I think you're right about that. And so he preached a sermon, powerful sermon, doing the best of things in the worst of times. And the fact that we don't have to take it laying down, that there is a God in heaven and He's in charge. Hey, something clicked when I said that. And so just little slips were handed out. The good people of this church were told, we'll never take these up. Nobody will ever look at them but just you. And it just simply said, within the next 3 months, I will pay into the building fund of the First United Pentecostal Church X amount of money. And so I said, in this next 3 months, as you can, well, you can take care of that. Terry waxed bold. He went down to see the mayor of the city. He said, Mr. Mayor, we're going to pay our church off. You're going to what? Pay our church off. He said, huh? Can I believe that? Are you aware of the fact there are churches in this town that can't pay their notes? But I want to pay it off. In 3 months, we'll burn the mortgage. And want you there when we burn it. Like to have all the city councilmen there. We want to invite all of Odessa that's got their problems and their needs to write on some paper what that is. And we're going to pass the hat and take it up. And when we burn the mortgage, we want to put the troubles of Odessa with it and burn it. Because Odessa don't have to take it laying down. There's a God in heaven. We are part of this community. We've been here a long time. We are not shysters. Praise God. And so, came time to burn the mortgage. Parade, police escort, all of that, one service. Building was opened up at 2 o'clock. Mayor was here. And Brother Hunt handled the burning of the mortgage and the other stuff that went with it. We had $20,000 left over above what it cost to pay the church off. What did we do with it? Part of it we took and fed the city. Walked around from table to table at the community center Holiday Inn, telling them that God can help you. That God answers prayer. Praise God. He's a God that knows your troubles. Listen, listen, listen. It's real good to be hooked on to God. That was such a sad thing. The lady that cut her child's arms off. Separated those members. And the little fellow died. It's so nice to be hooked on. Praise God. To know the flow of God's Spirit. Yes. Yes, it is. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. James 2 and 17. Faith without works is dead. Faith and works go together. Moving out. Getting into it. Amen. This is a reason why sometimes when you get knocked down, when you feel so low and discouraged, worst thing in the world you can do is give up. The woman, the man that sits at home and waits, that job's going to come to me and I'm waiting on. Don't do that. Amen. Keep on pushing. Keep on going. Faith without works is dead. Knock every door. Hallelujah. Faith, when it has some activity with it, becomes more powerful. Amen. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. This is what the Bible said. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hosea 6 and 3 said, we shall know if we follow on to know. Well, I've gone too long now. Yeah. Maybe I can finish that sometime. God bless you, Pastor. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I was visiting with Brother Willis Monday morning and mentioned that Dad would be preaching tonight. He said, you know, there's been times that your dad has quit preaching in about 10 minutes. He only preaches 10 minutes. He said, he's never done that when I was there. I said, now you know who he's been after all these years. Praise God. But that's good. I want to be hooked on to God. I just want to be hooked into Him. Hallelujah. Allow Him to use me. And this bottle of oil, actually, at the beginning of the year, I went and got this one. It was full. And the goal was to have it empty by the end of the year. We're not going to quite make it, but it's half empty. And we've had a lot of miracles. That half a bottle is gone, one finger daub at a time on people's foreheads. Just been praying for people, and God has healed a lot of people this year. I mean, we've had some real, real miracles. We probably should have had somebody responsible for cataloging them and just keeping them for testimonies, but we've just had a whole lot of miracles. And that oil doesn't have any healing ability to it. It's just oil. You can cook with it. One guy, he felt like that he had some spirits that he was dealing with, and so he just drank that oil, but not ours, but in another church. It didn't help the spirits at all. He still had them. The oil doesn't do it. Oil don't do it. It's the faith. It's the faith. It's the act of getting, just anoint me with oil. Oil, what's that? It's an act of faith. It's an act of faith. It's getting all that power out there and connecting it to the need. It's just an act of faith. Praise God. I want to be hooked into the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The Lord's been talking to me a little bit about what he wants to do next year. And we're just a little ways away from another whole new year. And I'm looking forward to what the Lord is going to do. We're going to see more miracles. We're going to see a lot of personal growth take place next year. I'm looking forward to it. I'll tell you a little bit more about it at the beginning of next year. But God has got some good things in store for us. I want to stay hooked into him. I want to stay close to him. Praise God. Praise God. Let's love him right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. I thank you, Jesus. 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 You are so good, Lord. You are so good, Jesus. You are so holy. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.